Hello and welcome to episode 554 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hate Meg.
Joey.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me everywhere at Joey Moser 83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hi, happy belated Memorial Day to all of those who have served our country and who listen to this podcast. I can't imagine that that's a broad array, but we'll see.
Memorial Day is supposed to celebrate those who have passed, so they might not be listening to the podcast.
Well, you never know, Megan. You never know.
That might be a larger subscriber listenership.
We're very popular in the afterlife. Well, you know, I read something that this weekend that said time is a construct that only we place on it, but time in reality is non-linear. Like things can happen. Everything is happening all at once, essentially, not to crib the title of.
Matthew McConaughey said that in True Detective, right? Time is a flat circle, which now everybody says all the time. Like,
There you go. So maybe somebody is listening to this podcast and they're, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with
maybe
that.
Matthew
I'm tired
McConaughey is
and
listening
being
to
weird.
this
All right.
all right.
So this week we are talking about documentaries and the 2026 Emmy race. Now, Megan has done a post on the site. Megan, I'll let you kick things off by talking about kind of what you think the major contenders are in the various doc categories. And then we're going to talk about two specific documentaries that have recently premiered on Netflix. One is The Crash, which is a true crime documentary about a group of teenagers whose car crashed into a building, and one survived. And what originally initially was thought to be an accident ended up becoming a murder investigation. And then, of course, we'll talk about Marty, Life is Short, the bittersweet and beautiful documentary about the life of Martin Short and his relationship to an overcoming of tragedy. And then, of course, after that somber piece, we'll wrap everything with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, Megan, the contending documentary queen, please enlighten us on what you think are the major contenders in this year's Emmy race.
So yeah, I've been catching up on a lot of the docs. And the one that I think is I also have been looking at what IndieWire has been saying. They're kind of the only other publication out there that likes to cover this in a way where they're actually watching these shows. And they have The Dark Wizard as the poll, the top position for docuseries, which I would agree with. And there are, but also I wrote in my piece that like there are like a couple shows that deal with climbers this season. So there's The Dark Wizard, obviously, which is the story of Dean Potter, a documentary about his life, and then Alex Honnold appears in that, who was the subject of Free Solo, and then he also has his own special docuseries or docu special, Skyscraper Live. Actually, just talked to him today, which he was really cool to talk to. I kept thinking this man was at the top of like Type A 101. So I kind of like folded in that idea that like rock climbing is huge. Free climbing is kind of the big thing this year. And I was looking back at the docuseries category, and like they do like to honor or recognize shows like 100 Foot Wave, which won last year about, as Garrett McNamara and the huge waves that he's a surfer, So they do like that spectacle. So I started thinking about how the chips usually fall with the category. There's usually a spectacle show, there's a sports one, there's maybe a celeb one, and so there I kind of filled that out this year with shows like Marty, or in the special category, Kylie Minogue has a docuseries. I don't know if people will flock to it. I feel like she's got a niche audience, but you never know. I have there's also the true crime element, like Trust Me, a False Prophet, or The False Prophet. The yogurt murders, the yogurt shop murders, which just concluded with a special fifth episode, which is really, really powerful. And there are also there's the category with the category with the specials has so many celeb like docuseries like the Stiller and Mira, the I'm thinking, wait, I'm missing
Mel
one.
Brooks.
Mel Brooks, of course Marty's in there, but it's like it's packed with stuff. Eddie Murphy's one in there. So it's hard to say. And then there's the hosted special series category that I think will probably be the usual suspects, as I put it, like Eugene Levy and Stanley Tucci. I named some other people in there that I can't remember right now. So that one probably is a little more predictable, but who knows? This is also the docu category, nonfiction category. I think is also always a little pr unpredictable because I also thought that Chimp Crazy was gonna be sweeping everything last year and it didn't, and I'm still bitter about that. So yeah, that is kind of taking you into the documentary categories. I hope that makes sense to everybody. You can feel free to send me a message.
Yeah, absolutely. And we urge our readers to check out that story on the contending. It's that special segment is chock full of really not only celeb docs but buzzy ones. Like it's hard to figure out how you pick between, Mel Brooks and Stiller and Mira and Marty,
My
which are
mom Jane.
my
My mom Jane.
which I did not realize until I watched that Mariska Hargitay was in the car when her mother died. I didn't realize she was in the back seat, and that she wasn't actually decapitated. An urban legend.
I actually drew, I started that doc and I didn't finish it, but I watched a little bit of it, so I need to get back to it.
Well, a lot of that was coming from me, just Googling her to find out more about her just outside of that. But so we've got two new documentaries. One, both would compete, I think, based on if I'm remembering your piece correctly, both would compete in the nonfiction, the documentary or nonfiction specials
Yes, I
category.
think that's what it would be.
Okay. Let's talk about The Crash first. So why don't you start off by telling us what The Crash is?
So, The Crash is about three teenagers who are in a car accident where they speed 100 miles an hour into a wall. And the girl driving is. She is survives, but the two passengers do not. And it is about whether the girl did it on purpose. That is basically what it is about. Would you,
So when
yeah, go ahead.
just a question, and then Joey, we'll let you jump in there. When you look at something like this, how do you compare it to other docudramas or documentary, true crime documentaries? And do you th think that this one is as successful as some of the others that we've seen historically?
I know that, like, I think somebody compared it maybe to like The Perfect Neighbor or something. But I would not compare it to The Perfect Neighbor. I think that The Crash is a fun, not f fun as fun as it can be. It, when you're watching, it's an entertaining documentary. I think it leaves out a lot of things because I've been listening to podcasts about the story, and it sounds like they. I mean, I don't. Without, we'll go into spoilers and stuff, but they left out a lot. Which makes me wonder why they left out a lot, because some of this would have kind of painted what they were trying to say better. Because I left that documentary thinking, I think that the family that is it's the Skrilla, is that was it? Is that their last name? Skrilla family?
Gorilla, yeah.
Skrilla. I think their family is interesting to say the least, but I could not convict this girl, I guess, because of. I just think they didn't think there was enough evidence. But anyway, but I think that there's a lot missing from this documentary that I would have liked to have seen It just didn't feel completely like we're being told the whole story, I guess. But that's kind of where I am when it comes to judging the documentary. Like, I feel like The Perfect Neighbor, something like that, which would be that as a film, I guess. They're both films, but I feel like that one does a better job of kind of giving you the whole story, if that makes sense.
Joey.
I think the comparisons to The Perfect Neighbor are a little wild, because The Perfect Neighbor really was talking about an incident that is a bigger part of a systemic issue of racism in America. Now, I will say The Crash for me, I understand why everyone is talking about it. I felt like I had a strong reaction to not necessarily the filmmaking or what it was trying to say, but the events of what happened. This does feel like a thing. It's like, can you believe this, and this? Like, did I go onto like Instagram and TikTok and see what people were saying about it? Yes, but I don't know if I think that has more to do with the true crime, the crime itself, and not necessarily what the movie is trying to say. I would actually argue that, like, on a certain level, it does feel like there should be more to this. It's under 90 minutes. This could have been a 2 hours, or maybe even like a three-part series or something, to make it a more sort of complicated narrative and sort of open up a conversation. I think, though, on another level, it's sort of like, okay, for lack of a better phrase, I was like, this girl sucks. And I thought the stuff at the end with the parents, with her parents in particular, was sort of shocking. Now, the thing that Jason, for people who don't know, my husband is a doctor, he thinks the thing that they tried to pass off as a medical excuse, he's like, that's bullshit. That's not what that medical condition is. He's like, you don't black out just by sitting there. You black out when you stand up. So that's not a,
That's what I read
that's,
too.
yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not gonna have any medical professional go in there? Don't, fine. Maybe there was, we don't know. Or maybe we do know, it just wasn't included in the documentary. I feel like, though, I was craving sort of a, did she do it a blah? Like, why was it? Like, but when I feel like you see the evidence of not letting up on the gas pedal, the speed, didn't try to brake, and the curvature of the road. And I was just like, maybe this is really dark, but it was sort of like, maybe she thought she was going to kill everyone in the car.
I think that's the main thing that they don't I think I would have liked I totally get why the documentary takes the side of, she's a piece of shit, and so is her family. I totally get that. But I'm also like, it would have been interesting to like they reveal something at the end. They're like, oh, wait a minute. He also had text me that he had t sent text messages, or she had text messages from him that he tried to like swerve
That's
the car.
no, that's from her perspective, though. That's
I thought
a,
that the parents said that they had text messages that she had sent to mother that he was trying to pull her. Like, they revealed that at the end, and then
that
they
isn't
came back.
shown. What is shown is the mom reacting to it and the mom saying, oh, who did it then? Who really threatened? I don't think you don't see his text. You see her side of a conversation to the mother saying, he's doing this. That's not proven at all.
Right. And that's what I meant. Like, why aren't they, they don't even investigate those types of things, I guess. Clarence, what do you think? I'm sorry. You need to weigh in.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
Wow.
it felt a little bit like, I guess I was looking for more from it on a, I'm just talking about from a film perspective. I'm looking for more a broader context. And it's just this focused story, and it's a slice of
Yes.
these people's lives. And it's very similar to what my wife and I usually routinely watch on a Friday night on 2020. Like it's just
Right.
it's along that same line. And you know, given that it's an entertaining episode of that, as much as this stuff can be an entertainment. I
Yes.
mean, let's just say it's about death, and it's, you know,
Devastating, yes.
people's lives are ruined forever. But you know, it, yes, the family is kind of awful. I did feel I'm kind of along the same lines as Joey when you see that road and you think, okay, she didn't go in a straight line across those road, the curvature of the road. It just kind of blah blah blah, and then you know, into the crash. You know, I didn't really feel like it was, I didn't feel like there was much give or take there in terms of whether or not she did it. When I watched it, I was just very convinced that this was an intentional thing. She probably intended to commit suicide and lived, and now she has to. It is. I just kept thinking about, like, what if, not that I would ever do something like that, but what if I were in that situation, and now I've got to, you know, I've got this these consecutive life sentences to serve, and probably, you know, 2037 before you're up for parole. I mean, you just. You know, the mental state that she had to have been, and of course, you know, she was erratic as a person anyway. It was fine.
I think it was, I think what I struggle with is there's no way to prove that she did this on purpose. And I think that's where I'm like, you can have
Well,
all of this, like
sorry.
all of this circumstantial evidence, I guess. Like, it's not like she was like texted somebody, I'm going to kill them tonight.
No,
Like,
right.
and I feel like that's where I'm kind of like, I don't know if I could convict her because I feel like it's more of an indictment of her parents. And like the conviction was her like against her parents and her like me selfish lifestyle, which I guess is, I mean, if that's enough evidence, I just really struggled with, I mean, I agree with what everybody has said and that she probably did do it on purpose, but if there just wasn't enough there for me to be like beyond a reasonable doubt that she did it on purpose, and I really
Well,
struggle with that.
and again, this wasn't a jury trial, right? This was just, you
Right.
know, a
I think
judge
she would have gone
deciding.
jury. If she would have gone jury, I think she would have walked.
You think after some of
Yeah.
the other stuff in there?
Yeah,
I
I
don't think
do.
so.
I think so. I think that it just would be hard. There's just not a lot of evidence, really.
I think there's.
I mean,
I
she
mean,
didn't take her foot off the gas
right.
or attempt to
Right.
brake at all before she
Because
hit that
if she.
warehouse.
If she, because I actually thought, I was like, if she, I said this to Clarence offline. I was like, I'm a little surprised that they didn't try to like push for more of the manslaughter and make it seem like more of an accident type thing.
Yeah.
But I said that to Jason too. And I was like, what if they said, because you see her calmly turning, like it's
Yeah.
not like she's swerving off the road. She's, you know, she slows down, she turns. And then, I wonder, I was like, well, maybe she passed out and like her foot, like maybe she like, you know, whatever, and her foot got lodged on the thing. And Jason was like, if she would have passed out, her foot would have moved.
Yes,
And
yeah.
I actually wonder, not to play like sort of devil's advocate for her, I wonder if she was going that fast on purpose, there was that sign in the way, like right before the building. I wonder if she did it on purpose, maybe she thought the sign was gonna stop or slow them down, and she didn't expect to go around it and hit the wall. Not to sound like a TikTok conspiracy theorist, because sometimes I get on some of
No,
those
because,
stories and I'm just like, what if? What if?
and I feel like a terrible person for not defending her, but
No.
I just feel like there's, it's just very hard to, unless they had her brain was like waves were saying, I'm gonna kill myself, or it's like they didn't
Yeah.
have any, there wasn't any, it was just hard for me to, I would not convict her, and that's something I struggle with because, like, she probably did do it, but it also makes me think of the case of serial case with Adnan
Yeah, Syed.
Said. Like, so I thought he probably did it, but I could not convict him.
Well, and that's
I, yeah.
what the frustrating thing and the beauty of the American jury system is that you do have to be judged by a jury of your peers, and the prosecution has the onus to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this person is truly guilty. And in your
Yeah.
case, they didn't prove that case. Of course, we don't see every single thing. One of the things that's really interesting is if this thing does have a bit of a larger context, it's the examination of your social media footprint and how
Yes.
you've got to watch every single thing that you do because it's going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
I know that they were really hard on her about like that after the deaths that somebody approached her about using her social media, and they thought that that was like, they thought that that was wrong. That she was like, "Oh yes, I've been trying to reach out to you," and they're like, "You're." And I also think this is a look at maybe how people. This is me being. I don't want to say this. Maybe how people grieve differently, and like I think that, not that like yeah, it sounds like I'm defending this girl, but I just feel like in other circumstances we might be like, "Oh, there, she's excited because this is something that." You know, she just went through this terrible tragedy that she caused. I don't know. I just feel like in some ways I think we're expecting things from these people that I don't think they can emote too. Like I don't think even if something else caused this crash, I think that they would have acted the same way, I guess.
I don't know. There's something. I mean, you have to. I think we all have to remember, not just us, but collectively, the people who watch it. She was so young when that happened. Even if
Yeah.
she was
17.
25, which she
She
was
was
19,
17.
17.
Jesus Christ. I mean, she was, from what we have seen in the documentary, she was acting reckless because she was allowed and or
Yeah.
encouraged to act reckless, act free, act whatever way that she wanted to. And Clarence, I do think you're right. That is sort of an indictment on your social media, because I said when we were watching it last night that when they kept going from like video to video to video, I was like, this is not good. Like
Yeah.
it's it, and that's why I wonder if it was a jury, you get half of those people that are over the age of 50, they're going to be immediately turned off by anything that she has, like, calling people fuck this, fuck that. I don't care if, she's smoking 10 times a day. I don't care, but I feel like that would turn off people who watch it. I don't know. It's so, I got really more, I won't say more angry at the parents, but it was sort of just like the end of the movie left a really bad taste in my mouth. This sort of like flippant, like the way that they're sort of acting, that her situation in prison is almost worse than the two boys that died. Like she was like,
Right.
we need to free her. And I was like, she still did something.
Yeah.
Right. She should still go to jail for like manslaughter. You're right.
Like
Like,
there should still be, quote, I mean, they're like free Kenzie and all the bracelets and the, I feel
yeah.
like that is
It
probably a
reminds me of
larger.
Karen Reed. Like, Karen Reed, I think, is somebody who she, well, I don't know, but like, she could have, I'm surprised that her attorneys didn't just go, or like, the, I think that her, the prosecution, if they just went for, hey, she was drunk, she hit her boyfriend by accident and got manslaughter, I think they could have like gotten her into, like she could have gone to jail. But I think because they went for the like, oh, she did this on purpose and
Yeah, the
stuff, I
premeditation.
don't,
Yeah.
yeah. And I think, I don't know, I'm surprised that, I guess I'm just surprised that it worked for this 17-year-old who, yeah, I don't know. But I wanted to say the thing that I was heard on the podcast is that the dad went to the right after the accident, he went to the police and said, and said she did do it on purpose. They didn't show that part. Yeah. And he's,
What?
yeah, he
Why?
said something
Her
like,
dad?
yeah, her dad said like, well, yeah, she was suicidal or something like that. And then like they he took it back or something. But like, why didn't they include that? I don't know. But that's what I heard on a podcast.
I'm
but that would have been like, okay, well, maybe, okay. That's why I feel like there's more to this story. And the fact that I was not, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a fan of hers by the end of it, but I was just kind of like, I feel like there's more that they're not telling us that I wanted to know.
Well, you know that she clearly wasn't suicidal because she had a McChicken.
That's right.
That part, I was like, guys, you guys actually played these people and put that in your movie. Like, I was just like,
Her
brought to you by
friends were
McDonald's.
very her friends were very defensive of her, which I or like they defended her, which I found surprising.
I think. I think maybe that probably that comes. I'm speculating here, but I know that there was, you talked about some of the content that they didn't include, and I know there was a lot of the history between Russo and her, Mackenzie, on their volatile relationship and how they didn't really focus on that. But apparently, it from what I read online, it was quite bad.
Yeah, which I think I also feel like there are a lot of, I hate to say this, a lot of teenage relationships that are bad like that. And I also think it's strange that she lived with the family, like his family, right? She lived with,
If
or
it
did
was
he,
a
or did they
different,
live separately, or did they live separately on their own?
they live separately on their own. I actually
Okay.
thought it was also weird that it was just like, okay, I understand like young love, but I was like, you're gonna let your 17-year-old daughter live with a 20-year-old?
Right.
Choices,
Yeah.
choices, people,
Choices.
choices.
Sure, everyone can on their own journey. Blah, blah, blah.
The real victim is the, I mean, they're all vic I mean, the Russo's definitely a victim. But the friend in the back seat is the
Yeah, oh
one
my
that,
God, just getting in
yeah.
the ride when he was not supposed to be in the car.
Right. Like,
That was really sad.
that really broke my heart. His family broke my heart. I really felt for them.
I wonder why his mother wasn't in the documentary.
Maybe she didn't want to be.
Oh, because
Yeah, maybe she didn't
yeah,
want
maybe
to, but I feel like,
yeah.
I don't know, I feel like sometimes that is like explained or said or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and in so many cases like this, you have this scenario where she almost, anything that covers it always tends to focus on the, I don't want to say celebrity of it, but the infamy of her. And, here, you've got two people who have died at her hands, whether it was intentional or not, they are dead at her hands. That is irrefutable.
Yeah.
And especially someone who had nothing to do with this was just in the car because needed, just was getting a ride and just happened to end his life. And he was what, 19, 20? So, I mean, it was.
He was the same age as her, I think, because they've graduated
Oh, okay.
together.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think he was 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just become the, and maybe that's why the mother doesn't, maybe she just doesn't want, I don't know.
Yeah.
Part of me says I would want to be in that so that I could shift the focus toward the tragedy that, my child experienced. But then the other part is like, I don't even want to be messed up
Right.
in that scene or that drama. It's awful.
I want to ask, what did you make of Mackenzie's statement in jail with the bun on her head? I feel like that was a choice. Like, I want to be like, girl, really?
I saw a lot of people not making fun of just the bun, but the sort of like, I mean, granted, she's a little older now. She's obviously not in the same environment that she was in before. But everyone, I saw like a whole bunch of things on TikTok about like acting the same way, acting the same way. And she's like, oh, the cameras are rolling. Let me sink into it. I saw a bunch of that.
Her voice
And
changed.
her voice
Her,
is so deep now.
yeah. I guess she has prison girlfriends too, though, right?
Well,
Like,
I heard someone calls her Shirilla the Killer,
yeah. And she like
and
boasts about it.
yeah, so it's just like, okay,
Yeah.
not helping.
Right.
Do you
She's
not
just.
know you're famous now and people are gonna talk shit? I don't know.
It's Chicago all over again. She's just doubling down.
Yeah.
She just doesn't get off on
Yeah.
it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's jump to Marty. Life is short. Joey, why don't you, since Martin Short is one of your favorites, why don't you tell us about what this documentary is?
But I love him more than you.
No, I think you love Jiminy Glick. You love
I
Jiminy
think
Glick
my
more.
dog Jackie Rogers Jr.
I know, but so this documentary is really about how he sort of like came into show business and how he was in Canada and started on SCTV and the sort of connections that they made with all these people. So how he wanted to be sort of a consummate performer, and sort of how the business not necessarily tells you otherwise, but it's sort of like his perspective on his own journey through television, through film, through performing on stage, and his sort of like philosophies on comedy, and the sort of real loving collective group of friends that he kind of came up with. And if you, I mean, and I knew who these people were because I love Martin Short so much. But just kind of see him, being talked about by like Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson and Kate Capshaw and Eugene Levy and Steve Martin. I have to say, the thing that I love the most are these Andrea Martin. Sorry, can't forget Andrea Martin. And it's also sort of a portrait of the love that he had with his wife, and how he fell in love with her and the sort of family, family dynamics. But the thing that I took away, sorry, sidetrack, but the thing that I love the most is like those home movies of him and his wife. With all, not just because they're all famous or anything, but it's just sort of like the scenes of them like on a boat or swimming together. It's like this real insane group of people. And it sort of was that kind of thing when you see like memories of a person, you can kind of like feel what that was like, even if for like the briefest of seconds. Like I want there to be like an entire like fiction film. It doesn't have to be about these people specifically, but like just at their house on these like summer vacations, I would love that. Or fine, just give me a whole documentary of Catherine O'Hara running around and whatever. But I really love this movie so much, especially when the stuff between him and his wife like really kind of killed me, and I knew that they were going to talk about that. And of course, we're sort of watching this. The movie debuted on Netflix after the news of like what happened with his daughter, and her daughter took her own life in February. And I didn't know that like him and his wife had trouble having kids, so they adopted three kids, and it's sort of made me think that it's kind of like a testament to you have to take control of your own life. You have to like create the joy for yourself while you still can, in a way, and not in like a cheesy kind of way, but I mean like he wanted to do what he wanted to do on stage, so he made that happen. He found out that he was good at things that he didn't know that he was good at. He leaned into, he didn't really like Saturday Night Live. He leaned into it. He tried it for a while, and I don't know how it did this, but it made me just love him even more. It's sort of like there is no one like him. If you didn't know that before you saw this movie, it is a huge shot in the arm to that thing. Like there is no one like Martin Short, and there will never be anyone else like Martin Short. So I am done talking. I love this movie. What did you guys think?
I was gonna say, you should read the book, his autobiography. Have you read it?
No, I have it, but I
Okay.
should read it.
It's
I should read
you
it
should
next.
listen to the Audible version, because he it's a lot of of what he talks about is in the film, but it really, like, he goes into like Godspell and how that was, he talks about, I love his stuff about Godspell and how I think they're making a documentary just on that particular
It
production.
played at TIFF
Yeah,
this
that
past
would
year,
be
and
so fascinating.
I could not get a ticket to it because
I'm sure.
it's like a Toronto
Yeah.
thing, and it was like
Yeah.
that they had like I probably could have gone to like a press screening of it, but I was going to see something else. But I tried, I think, for three different public screenings over 4 days, and I could not get into any of them. So sorry.
If, yeah, I'm dying to see that because I think also the thing that we forget about is Martin Short is the ultimate theater nerd. Like, he is the theater kid. And
Oh
that
yeah.
book really solidifies it. They talk about, he made me laugh out loud because he talks about Paul Schaefer, like years after they're no longer doing Godspell, Paul Schaefer would call him up sometimes, just be like, why did they do, like, why did so and so make that choice? And I'm sure, and he's like, it's been 20 years. Like, why are you asking me? That made me laugh. And his impression of Paul Schaefer is great. But what I love about this documentary is that he has faced so much tragedy and has, you're right, has found the joy in it. His brother died in a car accident. He was like basically an orphan, not an orphan, but he had no parents by the, like, 19 years old. And then, you know, he faces like he just kind of always, he didn't really have a career really that was seen as successful probably until recently because he's had all those flops. And even though they're like cult classics like Clifford, and I like how I lead with Clifford and Three
Three amigos.
Amigos, and yeah, Three Amigos is probably the big one. But like, I think that he has come out on top, and I think it's I love this documentary because it's showing not only his brand of comedy, but his brand of life and how he lives through tragedy. And the only thing that I wish that they would have, I wish that we had an interview with Meryl Streep. That's my one thing that I wish we had.
They're still together. I saw a picture of them canoodling in a restaurant recently
Yes.
within the past week. Which, by the way, talking about Three Amigos, when that came out, it was the adults that shot that in the knee. It was the kids, like everybody my
Yeah.
age, loved it, and that's why it's beloved to this day, is because everybody that humor was appreciated by a younger audience. It wasn't necessarily intended for an older palette.
I can't remember where I read something where they talked about like millennial men. I think it was John, was it John Mulaney who talked about in the doc? The like millennial men love Three, or like men of a certain age, Gen X, millennial men love Three Amigos. And
I grew up on it.
I think that's really fascinating.
I'm a little surprised that that movie flopped. I don't think I knew that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And especially it didn't it opened negatively against Eddie Murphy and The Golden Child, which is probably one of the worst movies ever made.
I love how that becomes like a thing throughout the documentary too, that he's like, well, you know, The Golden Child beat it. Like, I didn't even know Eddie Murphy did a movie called The Golden Child,
Oh,
which
I
goes to
used to
show
watch it
that,
all the time on HBO.
really? I didn't know. I was gonna say something. I also feel like Hollywood didn't know what to do with somebody like Martin Short. Like, they put him in like this as the straight man in Captain Ron. Like, no, he's the goofy guy. Like, you know, they had him in like Innerspace was kind of a cult classic too, but like they didn't know what to do with him for a little bit. And two, I would say Father of the Bride was where, like, oh wait, this is where we put him in.
It's like,
This is
oh,
what
he's a
we did.
weirdo character
Yes.
actor.
And BD Wong is also like his partner in crime. Is they are so good together in the
They are.
films.
We just
Yeah.
watched that,
Yeah.
the second one, actually.
I think, and the documentary talks about this a little bit. Like they had, I love that they showed him and Bernadette Peters dancing around because sometimes I forget that they did that show together. But I remember the first time that I heard "Little Me." For people who may not know what that is, it's like a musical written by like Neil Simon. That recording, I have a very distinct memory of. It was like after rehearsal from a show that I was doing, sitting in the car, and my friend introduced it to me, and I literally could not breathe because it was. I would have to go back and listen to it to remember what made me laugh so hard, but it was so. My friend Sean introduced me to that show because he loved that show, and he was a ham on stage, and he loved Martin Short. And I remember telling him that I was afraid of driving the like half hour back home because I was afraid of crashing my car because I kept just thinking about some of the songs and some of the lines, and I just kept laughing. I don't even know what it is that made me laugh so hard, but I have a very fond memory of listening to that show.
When I first, looked at what Marty Life is Short was, who was behind it, directed by Lawrence Kasdan of The Big Chill and others, produced by Imagine Entertainment, so Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, it's got Spielberg and it's got Catherine O'Hara, God rest her soul, and it's just had so many people. I was like, oh, this is just a starry puff piece. But I understand after watching it, you understand two things about it. Number one, that was his life. Like he collected those people in Snug Harbor and had those Christmas parties there, and it became a big deal. And they celebrated like they were all theater kids. And that's just who he was. That to learn about who he was as a human being, you have to talk to his friends, and all his friends are celebrities. And then number two, it's almost like all of the people that are talking about him, they don't want to let an outsider in to tell this story because they're very protective of him because he provided them so much during those holiday parties. So ultimately, I mean, it was, it's got some incredibly sad, bittersweet moments. And then, of course, seeing Catherine O'Hara and basically one of her last interviews was incredibly tough to watch. It's it's one of the better ones that I've seen though, and it makes you really appreciate, it makes you understand, and I don't even know how this is possible, how underrated he is as a comic actor. And it really makes you go back and appreciate everything he's done and all that he has contributed to the culture.
I wish that they would have talked a little bit about how he's one of the best talk show guests of all time. Like, people always talk about that. Like, how
And
he,
talk
like,
show
thinking of
hosts.
him when, yes, that's true. Like, they kind of briefly touched on it, but like, just the fact that, like, if you have him on the show, you're going to get a good story. Like, he's just, I always think of like when he was on Conan and he talked about how the paparazzi caught him and Steve Martin on vacation together and the photo that they, and do you know the photo? Where he's like making a weird, he's like has his shirt off and he's just like, and it's just the worst. And it's so funny. But
Looking
he
it
is
up right
one
now.
person you always want, on your, you want you on the couch.
The
Absolutely.
thing that opens the document, oh, I'm looking at, is it the one where they're on like the water and he has like a bucket?
Yes, that's it.
The way that he says that Mark or Steve Martin, I think, says at the beginning.
If you're having a party and you invite Martin Short, and if he can't come, you cancel the party.
Anything else about Marty Life is Short? Of the two, I more strongly recommend Marty.
I do too.
Okay, very good. So let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, I'm going to let you go first since we seem to have some good internet with you right now.
Sure. I'm catching up on Rooster and Shrinking. I am really excited to see Tuner because I missed it at Telluride and TIFF. And then I want to catch up with I guess Back Rooms, which I don't know why it's not a documentary about gay cruising in bars. That's what it should be. With a title like that. And I'm oddly interested in seeing Pressure, which seems like a movie that would be made fun of on The Simpsons.
It is a
Speaking of
movie that
Clarence's
Mark
shirt,
Johnson loves. Sorry, what? Yes.
speaking of your shirt, I love it. Wait, is that X-Files? Who is
See,
that?
I said the same thing. So it's
Twin
Twin
Peaks.
Peaks.
Oh, Twin
The
Peaks.
log
Okay, I couldn't
lady.
tell. I was going to say The Log Lady Threw Me Off. Oh, I love
That's
it. Kyle
Audrey
MacLachlan.
and yeah, Kyle MacLachlan, and I forget who that is. It's been a long time. I know who it is, but I don't remember his name. And then the dad.
The scary dad.
Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan. I thought it was Mulder for a second.
I thought it was
Yeah,
Mulder. That's
no,
what
it
I thought
does look
for a
like
second.
David Duchovny, but it is Twin Peaks
I love it.
because of the. I mean, it's more evident with this pattern. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Wait, was I going to say something about what were we talking about before?
Back rooms, gay cruises.
Oh yeah, you said gay crew.
Does Backrooms come out this weekend?
Yeah.
I didn't
Okay.
realize it did.
Which I didn't realize the director is 20.
Yes, 20. I thought he was 26.
Nope, 20. I just
He's
Google. Let me
20?
look at
Yeah, there's
Game.
like there's
I'm
this
talking
whole
about Curry
thing
Barker.
about YouTube directors or filmmakers who were raised on YouTube or who were YouTube content creators that were then given the license to make horror films. And so Obsession is one of them.
Oh, that's Curry Barker. That's it. That's what I was thinking of. Okay, sorry.
And then Backrooms, another guy coming up from YouTube. And I think there's like a whole series of them, even to some extent, Zach Cregger, of Weapons fame and
Yeah,
soon
like
to be
short, like
Resident
the
Evil.
short films. Well, Backrooms was based on that, like a viral short film, right? Or viral video.
It's
Yeah.
something about
Like a back room that just keeps going.
according to Google, he was born in June of 2005.
Oh my
Oh my God.
Like I
Colin.
was almost out of college when he was born.
Oh my God. He was a year old, not even when The Devil Wears Prada came out. That's crazy.
He was so young that as a baby, his mother did not have time to find a sitter so she could go see The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh my God, you're right.
Suddenly I see.
It's really interesting. I've been hearing a lot about this movie, cheaply made, but it seems like it's taking on in social media ways and is going to be a pretty big deal, surprisingly.
Well, it
I'm
was made for like
so
no
out.
money, right?
Yeah. And Obsession made for no money.
I need you two to see that because I would love to talk about it.
I'm dying to see it, so maybe I'll
I'm a
try
big
to see it.
fan.
Yeah. I heard
I would rather.
it's like if Mr. Big had a horror film from his point of view.
I hate that thing because those are the people who hate Carrie Bradshaw and think that it's like there are those people who do the part in Sex and the City where she comes in with the pizza and goes, "Get it while it's hot," and they're like, "It's so cringe." I was like, "Shut up, you stupid Gen Z fucks who don't know anything about humor or whatever. You do this on purpose. You do this on purpose to trigger me."
Me, I'm sorry. Are you accusing me?
I'm like this because of you.
We need a clip, Joey. Just Megan knew intimately, instinctively that we needed a clip, and so all she needed to do was push a button, and it was Sex in the City
Ah!
and
I'm like an
Dance
angry
Monkey
version.
Dance.
I'm one of those car things, but angry. It's like,
Oh, you mean like the this thing? You
Oh,
are kind of like that.
no,
I
you're an
wish I
angry
was that
Muppet.
tall. Oh, I'll
Yeah,
take
you
that
are.
way better. Oh
Yeah,
my
you're an angry
God, I could
Muppet.
be in a new Muppet movie, the angriest Muppet, and they have to make me happy or nice.
Oh my God, I'd watch that.
I would too.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
I just I, actually I want a feud, a series, a season of Feud about the Muppet movie and your fight over it.
Feud, Megan and Joey.
Yeah, I mean that's
Oh,
just it's a
I want
never-ending
Susan
story.
Sarandon to play me. Susan Sarandon gets to
I
play you.
distinctly remember where I was when I listened to that voicemail. I remember the intersection that I was turning onto when I heard that.
Amazing.
The Megan and Joey lore that people don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It ranks right up there with Angela Bassett's it
That's
oversized.
true. That's true. I was thinking if we had podcast merch, which shout out, my mother wants us to have podcast merch. I was like, we could have a quote about Angela Bassett or something.
Just be like a white hood or a black hoodie and in white type letter font, Angela Bassett's oversized clit.
Yes, I wear that.
I would wear that
All right.
proudly. Sorry.
Were you done, Joey?
Yes.
Okay. Megan?
So I also need to see Obsession. So maybe I will try to see that this weekend. I also need to like, I want to start Margo Has Money Troubles. I need to watch Widow's Bay. I've been watching a lot of shows like The Hunting Wives. I've finished that. So I need to get back to watching some other things. And then I'm reading Murder Bimbo, which I really enjoy. I'm really enjoying.
Great title.
I'm trying to think of any music that I'm listening to. I really like Sierra Farrell right now. She's really great. And she's coming to town in September, so I might try to see her. And that's about it.
Well, I feel like I should be in movie going jail because rather than going to see something like Obsession, I saw The Mandalorian and Grogu. And
Okay, what is it good?
no, not even close to being good. Like
This kind of you're making me want to see it. Like all these reviews are making me want to see it.
it's not a disaster. It is just very obviously like a pumped up TV show.
Okay,
They've
that's what
taken a
I've heard.
plot. Yeah, they've taken a plot of a special or some episode of the show that they were going to do, and they added some extra kick to it. They put some AT-ATs in it. They made it, they made it cinematic in terms of spectacle. Cinematography is terrible. There's some really cute baby Yoda stuff in there, and there's some other little I don't even know what they are, but they're these little tiny mechanics that they're in the show at some point, but I want a whole movie dedicated to baby Grogu and these little tiny mechanics. They were the best thing about it by far. And the jacked up Jeremy Allen White as Jabba the Hutt's
Yeah.
son is, I can't even tell you how bizarre that is. It's
And I
just
heard
like
he's just doing his voice. Is it true he's just doing his straight voice?
it's not his exact voice, but it's a deeper version of his voice, but he doesn't go wah, 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 wah. He just, he's like, I just want to tell you guys that I'm really happy you came and rescued me from this. It's
Oh my
so weird.
God.
And he's got like pecs and six pack
Yeah, he's
abs
got
and he looks
like,
like a giant slug.
I'm looking this up. I didn't even realize that he was in it.
It's
Yeah,
weird.
he's
It's
Rada. Is
weird.
it Rada the Hutt? Rada the
Rod
Hutt?
out of the hut, yeah.
Rada the Hutt.
Yeah, and
And
then doesn't he say something about like, oh, I can't live up to my dad or something like that?
And another thing that made me angry was we keep wasting Sigourney Weaver in roles like this. And between this and Avatar, somebody needs to fund a searing drama featuring this woman so we can get her an Oscar before she dies. Because, not that she's near death at any, but she's getting older, as well as Glenn Close and Michelle Pfeiffer, and they all should have Oscars because they gave performances back in the 80s that were 50 times better than what wins Oscars today.
I
So
would agree with that.
I'm just gonna
Yeah.
go on Sigourney Weaver's IMDb. Let's see if she has any. Get her
I thought
back with
she did
Ang Lee,
have.
man.
I thought she did have something coming out.
No, she does. She
So,
always has independent
but I
films,
mean, I thought
very,
she had
very
something
small
that was like
films.
kind of juicy. I feel like she had
Okay.
something kind of juicy, but I can't remember what it is.
She should have won
No,
for
she has Ice Storm.
she wasn't
I was
even
gonna
nominated
say
for Ice Storm, was she?
no.
Yeah.
Working Girl.
Working Girl, that's what I was going to say. Working Girl, she's
Yeah.
fantastic in Working
She's
Girl.
so good in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
She's
gonna be in a
such a
movie with Meryl Streep.
no, of
Is
course.
she?
Called Useful Idiots.
I thought she was in something like quasi juicy.
Well,
The
according to her
title of that.
IMDb, it's upcoming on her IMDb is Tomb Raider, Useful Idiots, Avatar 4, and Avatar 5.
And Useful Idiots, the title is not giving me hope. That's just not a.
Yeah, it says follows veteran New York property market journalist Diane Castle, that's Meryl Streep, who investigates a record-breaking penthouse sale, uncovering a web of corruption and danger
Ooh.
involving a mysterious oligarch that threatens her family.
That sounds like a TV movie.
I'm
Go on.
in. I'm in.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% in. Mandalorian Grogu. I wish I'd gone to see Obsession. I knew I should have
Yeah.
when I was buying the ticket, but I was like, eh. Let's see what I'll catch up to this weekend. I have a busy weekend, so I don't know if I'm going out to the movies, but I am watching DTF St. Louis, which I am obsessed with. I cannot put it down.
Oh, really?
It's blowing me away at how good this is. Like I'd heard good things about it, but it is intense. It's all. Joey, you've seen the whole thing, right? It is almost like a. I thought it was just going to be a standard HBO limited series, but it feels very European in its exploration of the intersection of these lives. And it's so frank about the way it discusses some things that traditional American television doesn't normally discuss. It's uncomfortable, but it's also incredibly sad. And I'm not even at the end yet, and I'm already like,
Oh, it
it's
gets way sadder.
the way that it's just so interesting the way that it's laid out, and that you bits and pieces of information are given to you as the cops investigating this crime, uncover it, and it's just really fascinating. I really, really recommend it. Still watching Parks and Rec. And listening to Yesteryear on, I'm almost done with Yesteryear. I think if the challenge with making this, as we all know, the reason that I got this is because Anne Hathaway optioned it for rights to a film. It's a very internal novel. That's going to be the challenge, is translating the content of the book, which is all internal, into a screenplay, essentially. To kind of visualize some of the themes that are ongoing of the novel. But if it's done well, this could be her best actress ploy.
Interesting.
Give it to me.
Yeah. So
There's
highly recommended.
he
All
said
right.
Smithers.
What?
You
Give it
give it to
to me. I gotta say,
me. Give it, give
not
it. What does he do? Give it. When he went to get the Malibu
like,
Stacy.
I
Yeah,
want it. She's wearing a new hat. No, I
See.
have the image of you dressed as Smithers going, whip it.
I hate you. What? To go back to DTF St. Louis, I liked it way more than I expected because I had these preconceived notions of what the show was going to do. And I kept saying to all my friends who were watching it, I was like, can the straight people just like get over it and just talk frankly about your sex lives. Like, gay, you guys can learn something from gay people. I'm speaking as straight people in this world. But I think it uncovers a
Learned
lot.
something yourself, didn't you?
Was most offended by how you leaned in. No, but like the friendship stuff between Jason Bateman and David Harbour. I think David Harbour is fantastic in the
Oh,
show.
he's brilliant. He's
Yeah,
brilliant.
he's so good. And
Make me
Clarence, you're
want to
gonna.
watch this because I didn't like it, but I feel like I need to jump back in.
There's the stuff that happens, like, all I'll say is this isn't, I'm not giving anything away, but when you see an interaction on a pier, I don't think I've seen any show in recent memory talk about straight male friendship and how straight men don't tell each other enough that they love each other. That kind of blew my mind. I spoke to Joy Sunday, who plays the young The Young Investigator with Richard Jenkins.
I love her.
She was great. And I'm going to publish the video of that, but I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to give it to you, Clarence, to put on the site until you finish the
I
show.
will finish it tomorrow night. I only have two episodes left.
Yeah, it's good. It's way better than I expected, to be honest.
Yeah, and I am in the same boat. I expected a certain amount of quality given that it's an HBO play, but it's a lot deeper than I thought it would be. Definitely, Megan, I would advise getting more into it because
Okay.
it becomes it's so much deeper as it goes along than the first episode would let you
I think I
would
watched maybe
allude.
two or three. I
Okay.
got to the No Way Jose. No Way Jose. And I that threw me off. I was just kind of like, this is weird, but yeah.
It's supposed to be.
Watermelon Breeze.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. She's Watermelon Breeze.
She's Watermelon Breeze.
All right, that's too inside joke.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, the contending co-founders, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or click like and subscribe here on YouTube, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.